of Luke, chapter 15. I'm going to preach tonight a message I've entitled, Three Parables, Three Hearts. Three Parables, Three Hearts. Luke, chapter 15. And once you find your place, if you're able, please stand for the reading of God's Word. We'll begin reading in verse number 1. Luke 15, 1. Then drew near unto him, the Lord Jesus, all the publicans and sinners for to hear him. And the Pharisees and scribes murmured, saying, This man receiveth sinners and eateth with them. And he spake this parable unto them, saying, What man of you, having 100 sheep, if he lose one of them, doth not leave the 99 in the wilderness, and go after that which is lost until he find it? And when he hath found it, he layeth it on his shoulders, rejoicing. And when he cometh home, he calleth together his friends and neighbors, saying unto them, Rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep which was lost. I say unto you that likewise joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that repenteth, more than over 99 just persons which need no repentance. Either what woman having 10 pieces of silver, if she lose one piece, doth not light a candle and sweep the house and seek diligently till she find it? And when she hath found it, she calleth her friends and her neighbors together, saying, Rejoice with me, for I have found the piece which I have lost. Likewise I say unto you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner that repenteth. Well, let's pause the reading right there. We'll pray. I'll have you be seated. And we'll continue reading after a little bit. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you once again for allowing us to come into thy house tonight. And God, I just pray that you would bless now the reading of thy word. Please speak to hearts and have your will accomplished. Lord, if there's someone here that is not saved, I pray that you would convict them, show them their need of salvation, Lord, and that there might not be another opportunity, Lord, to accept you. And I pray that your Holy Spirit would just convict hearts and have your will accomplished in every way. Get glory to yourself. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you for standing, and you may be seated. When God says something once, it is important. Amen? Amen? If God says something twice, it is very important. Amen. In the book of Genesis, and I just read my Bible reading this past week, actually, Genesis 41, was talking about Joseph hearing Pharaoh's dream. It was doubled unto him twice, Joseph said, because it is established by God. When God says something three times, it is critically important. It is something that we should not miss, that we should not let pass by us. And Acts chapter 10, Peter saw a vision before Cornelius met with him, and he saw three times this sheet knit at the four corners carrying all sorts of abominable beasts. Led down from heaven, and he heard these words, Rise, Peter, kill and eat. And it happened three times just to show Peter the importance of the message that salvation is not just for the Jews, it is for the Gentiles also. And here we have in Luke 15 another instance where a message, a truth, is emphasized not once, not twice, but three times. Three different parables to carry the weight of this message the Lord Jesus Christ wants us to get. It is critically important that we not miss this truth in God's Word. It is paramount to the whole meaning of Scripture. It is such an importance that if we ignored this truth, there'd really be no purpose even coming to the Lord's house. There'd really be no purpose even living the life of a Christian if we were not fulfilling the truth that He's conveying here. So let's see what it is that the Lord Jesus wants us to learn. What is it that He does not want us to miss? First of all, the parable of the lost sheep. The parable of the lost sheep. As He said, verse 3, He spake this parable unto them, saying, What man of you, having 100 sheep, if he lose one of them, doth not leave the 99 in the wilderness, and go after that which is lost until he find it? He uses this rhetorical question. He says, What man among you doth not leave? his 99 in the wilderness and seek after that one. It's as if to say, who in his right mind would not go seeking for the sheep? It's as if he's saying, it's common sense. Anyone who has the knowledge of sheep, anyone who has common sense, would not he leave the 99? It's a rhetorical question. Who would not do this? And he says, leave the 99 to go and seek after that which is lost until he find it. He relates the sinner to a lost sheep. A lost sheep in the wilderness. A sheep who is alone in a dangerous place, far from the flock, far from the sheepfold, far from the protection of the shepherd, far from everything that the shepherd gives to the sheep to care for the sheep. A lost sheep is what the Lord Jesus Christ relates the sinner to. And just as that lost sheep, the sinner is far separated from God, removed from God, removed from God's place of blessing, removed from God's place of protection. The lost sinner is cursed, is under the curse, is separated from God. Now, though God shows certain blessings on those who are His, as well as those who are lost, is it not true that God reigns on the just and on the unjust still? Is it not true that when God sent that first rainbow in the book of Genesis and made the promise that He would never again flood the earth to destroy mankind, that promise was not just made to the righteous Noah, but it was made to all his descendants, good and bad alike. And indeed, God does still show graces and show certain blessings even on those that are not saved, those that are not in the sheepfold. The truth is, someone who is not saved, they are outside the place of God's divine protection because they are lost as this sheep. To leave the 99 and go after that one sheep that is lost, what he's saying here is the importance, the value of that one sheep. He's emphasizing the value. 99 sheep is quite a lot of sheep. But that one that's lost, the Lord values it so much. He doesn't just say, oh, it's just one sheep. He doesn't just throw in the towel and give up looking for that sheep and think, well, I've got 99 others. No, He values that one. He cares for all His sheep. He cares for those sheep that no one else might care for. He cares for that which is lost. Now, this went against the Pharisees' idea. As we read at the beginning of the chapter, then drew near to Him publicans and sinners for to hear the Lord Jesus, the Pharisees and scribes murmured. They had this self-righteousness about them. They tried to lift up themselves as being keepers of the law, as being good Pharisees, as being devout Jews. And this idea of that one lost sheep being of more value than 99, or one sinner coming to repentance being greater even than 99 just persons which need no repentance, as we just read in verse 7. That's kind of went against their idea. They in their minds thought, well, wait a minute. 99 just persons, 99 Pharisees keeping the law, whether it's the Sanhedrin council, whether it's all the faithful Pharisees in Jerusalem, they thought in their minds, wait a minute, we're serving God. God loves us because we're living for Him. We're keeping the law. They had this idea that they were somehow worth more than those publicans and sinners that drew near to hear Jesus Christ. But that's not what Jesus said. He said, there's more joy in heaven over one sinner that repents. One sinner that comes back to the Lord. One sheep that is found. There's more joy than over those 99 Pharisees, 99 just ones, if you will. And that's the first parable that he gives here. Now, I don't know if anyone here has ever lost a family pet. Anyone? You ever lose a pet?
I've lost some fish. Okay. Growing up, we had cats, we had dogs. But I remember specifically when I was a little bit older, losing the little fish. And we had some of these tropical fish that when you turn the lights down low, they almost kind of glowed a little bit. But like any animal, you know, they don't live as long as people, generally speaking. And it can be hard sometimes when you lose a pet, when you lose an animal that you love, that you care for. And likewise, a shepherd, if he lost a sheep, he would feel that loss. It would be sad. You know, I'll tell you this, there's actually a whole market for sympathy to help those cope having lost a pet. There's actually a whole market. There's websites where you can send doggy sympathy cards. And I'm telling you the truth. It's a real thing because people do care for their animals. People do care for their pets. And so just think of how heartbreaking it would be for that shepherd who lost his sheep. And we have the parable of the lost sheep, but let's look now at the parable of the lost silver. Look at verse number 8. And Jesus continues, he says, "Either a woman having 10 pieces of silver, if she lose one piece, doth not light a candle and sweep the house and seek diligently till she find it? And when she hath found it, she calleth her friends and her neighbors together, saying, Rejoice with me, for I have found the piece which I have lost." In this parable, a woman she loses one piece of her silver. She had 10, and she lost one piece. So now she has 9. She lost 10%. Okay? To some, maybe that doesn't seem like a lot. If you have an estate worth $1 million and you lose $100,000, that's quite a lot. Well, you see, the reason that the Lord uses a woman in this parable, He's not saying that women lose things more easily than men. That's not what He's saying. You see, back in the Middle Eastern culture, especially back 2,000 years ago, I'll tell you this, women did not have the same rights. They were not valued the same as they are in America in 2015. Here in America, a woman obviously has the same right to apply for a job, same right to work, same right to vote as men. There's a lot of equality here in America in our Western culture. But back then, the men were the bread makers. They were the ones who had control of the assets. They had control of the estate. And for a woman to lose 10% of her treasure was devastating. It was a terrible thing. It wasn't like she could just go and get a job and replace that. So look here. Notice what she did. It says, having lost this one piece, first of all, she invested resources to find it. It says she lit a candle. Now, I don't know how much that candle itself was worth. It might have been a simple wick. It might have been a very cheap candle. Or it might have been a very expensive Better Homes and Gardens or Yankee candle of that day, if you will. We don't know how much that candle was worth, but the fact is she lit a candle. She invested a resource. And then not only that, she invested some elbow grease. It says that she lit a candle and she did sweep the house. She swept. It's funny, my oldest daughter, Lily, sometimes if we tell her to look for something, she'll just kind of glance a little bit. She'll just kind of glance in her room. And she'll get frustrated because she won't find it right away. And Obadiah, he's kind of the opposite. He'll actually just kind of open up his eyes and he'll look a little bit more for whatever it is he's looking for. But that's not what this woman did. She didn't just glance in her house. She lit a candle and it says she swept. It's kind of funny, just last night, somehow my wedding ring slipped off my finger at a restaurant. And I didn't even realize it had fallen off until we had already sat down at the table. We heard something hit the floor, something metal. And initially I thought it was a fork until I realized my ring was not on my finger. And well, lo and behold, we thought, well, my wedding ring's gone. So we looked all around, and it was sad. I've been married almost 7 years, and that's got sentimental value, not just its actual value. But when you lose something that's important to you, you don't just glance around for it. You actually move furniture.
You search diligently. And that's also what this woman did. She didn't just light a candle. She didn't just sweep, but it says she searched diligently. She did seek diligently. And those words, seek diligently, come from this Greek word, epimelos. That is the only place in Scripture where that Greek word's found. In the whole Bible, the word epimelos is only found one time, and it's right here. And that word epimelos carries the same idea of a surgeon searching diligently for a surgical instrument or a sponge. Anyone that's ever worked in surgery, use different sponges, use different instruments when you're working inside the body of someone while they're out. And they have a system. They count how many sponges go in. They count how many instruments they have. Everything has its place. And they use much diligence in making sure all those things are taken out so they don't sew up the person with a sponge or a scalpel still inside them. And I don't believe it's an accident that the Holy Spirit used Luke, a physician, to use this strong surgical term to show us how much this woman sought for her coin. She searched diligently till she found it. And you know what? While the sinner at first was related to as a lost sheep, now he's related to as a lost coin. That drachma is what it's called. This silver coin. How much do you think a drachma is worth? Anyone want to take a guess? About 15 cents. 15 cents American. So you see, this coin isn't really worth a lot. And the sinner, a sinner is not intrinsically worth a lot, but that just goes to show you that even someone who is lost, even someone who this world doesn't value, even someone that this world would just not care to remove out of their sight, the Lord Jesus loves the sinner so much that He's willing to search diligently. He's willing to invest resources. He gave His only begotten Son to die. His only Son died for that sinner. That child you saw in the video, those children, there's many in this world that would just not care if they ever saw them. They're in a third world country, far removed. But you know what? They're valuable to God. Lord Jesus, He sees them as someone worth seeking out, worth searching for. And you know what? I'm no different. Yes, I was born in America. Yes, the Lord's blessed me with great jobs and great family. And Lord's blessed me with so many things, a great vehicle. I mean, I could go on down the line. But you know what? Ultimately, I'm no different from them. And when I was 11 years old, a man by the name of R.B. Ouellette, pastor up in Michigan, he preached the gospel. First place I heard it. And in my bedroom, when I was 11 years old, I prayed and accepted the Lord Jesus Christ to come into my heart and save me. You know what? Because I was just like that lost coin, measly 15 cents. I really wasn't worth much, but the Lord loves sinners. He cared enough to seek me out. And He loves everyone just that much. The parable of lost silver. And lastly, the parable of the lost son. Now we're going to read a little bit here. It says, and drop down to verse number 11. And he said, a certain man had two sons. And the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falls to me. And he divided unto them his living. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country. And there wasted his substance with riotous living. And when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in that land, and he began to be in want. And he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into his fields to feed swine. And he would fain have filled his belly with the husks that the swine did eat, and no man gave unto him. And when he came to himself, he said, how many hired servants of my father's have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger. I will rise and go to my father, and will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee,
and am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants. And he arose and came to his father. But when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion, and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And his son said to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. But the father said to his servants, Bring forth the best robe, and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand, and shoes on his feet, and bring hither the fatted calf, and kill it, and let us eat and be merry. For this my son was dead, and is alive again. He was lost and is found. And they began to be merry. Wow, what a story. The parable of the lost son, or the prodigal son, as it's more widely known as. You see, the lost sheep was of value to the shepherd. A shepherd truly should care for a sheep. That coin, as I already mentioned, was worth a lot to that woman. But ultimately, a sheep can be replaced. It's an animal. It can be replaced. The coin is an inanimate object. It doesn't even know it's lost. It has no sense of being lost, even though it was worth a lot to the woman. But here in the third parable, there's something we see that the first two parables lacked. And that's the human element. See, this wasn't just a sheep. This wasn't just a coin. This was a son who rebelled against his father, who wandered away and wasted his substance on living in a worldly manner. But the most wonderful thing about this is when he comes back and he repents. And when he comes and says, Father, forgive me, I have sinned against you and against heaven. Make me one of thy hired servants. But you know what the father does? He doesn't just make him go out and be one of his hired servants. Rather, he welcomes us back, embraces him, and kisses him, and says, This my son who is dead is alive again. He was lost, and now he is found. And this parable just shows that the Lord cares for sinners, but you know, he doesn't force them to come back. This son, he had to come to himself. He had to realize that he needed to repent. He had to come to the realization that he had to go back to the Father. The Father loved him so much, but he had to come back. You know, the sinner, he has to draw nigh to God. We don't believe in the Calvinist idea that God automatically saves people. The Lord extends salvation through the preaching of the gospel, and people can hear, but they must accept. It's a personal decision, a personal choice to believe and to receive Christ. And that's what this young man did. That's what the son did. He repented and came back. We see three parables that note three different manners in which God desires the sinner to be saved. But let's talk about three hearts. There's three hearts also that are relayed here in these parables. First, the heart of the shepherd. Notice that there in that first parable, that shepherd, he sought diligently. He left the 99 in the wilderness. He went after that which was lost until he found it. But look in verse 5. When he had found it, he layeth it on his shoulders, rejoicing. David said in Psalm 119, 176, I have gone astray like a lost sheep. Seek thy servant, for I do not forget thy commandments. In Isaiah 53, it says, All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. And the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. We were like that sheep. And if you've never been saved, you're like that lost sheep. You're lost. But the Father's searching. He's seeking for you. He wants you to come back. And it says that he layeth it on his shoulders, rejoicing. Verse 6, When he cometh home, he calleth together his friends and neighbors, saying unto them, Rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep, which I have lost. Notice that. He doesn't say, I have found a sheep, or one of the sheep. He says, I have found my sheep. Personal possession. It's his sheep. And if you're saved, you're not just a sheep. You are His sheep. And He loves you just as that shepherd cares for that one sheep. In John 10, the Lord Jesus relates, He shows us His heart, as the Good Shepherd, He says in John 10, "The thief cometh not before to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. I am the Good Shepherd. The Good Shepherd giveth His life for the sheep. But he that is an hireling and not the shepherd, whose own the sheep are not, seeth the wolf coming, and leaveth the sheep, and fleeth. And the wolf catcheth them, and scattereth the sheep. The hireling fleeth, because he is an hireling, and careth not for the sheep." He says, "I am the good shepherd, and know my sheep, and am known of mine. As the Father knoweth me, even so know I the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. And other sheep I have, which are not of this fold, them also I must bring, and they shall hear my voice, and there shall be one fold and one shepherd." Of course, that sheep that he's talking of being a different fold, he's talking about the Gentiles, those that would also be received into the family of God if they would only believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the good shepherd. He is such a good shepherd. He doesn't see the wolf coming and is that hireling, is a hired servant, leave the sheep and run away to save his own life. No, what does the good shepherd do? He went down and gave his own life for the sheep. He laid his life down on that cross. He died for the sheep. He died in the place of the sheep and suffered for the sheep that were once lost. Wow. What love of a shepherd that he would give his life for the sheep. But that's what the Lord Jesus did. The heart of the shepherd. Also, we see the heart of the servants. The heart of the servants. In that second parable, I didn't emphasize it, but it says in verse 8, "Either what? Woman having 10 pieces of silver, she lose one piece, doth not light a candle, and sweep the house and seek diligently till she find it." Notice, "And when she hath found it, she calleth her friends and her neighbors together, saying, Rejoice with me, for I have found the piece which I had lost. Likewise I say unto you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner that repenteth." The angels. The angels are talked about 297 times in the Bible. 297 times. 1 Peter 1:12 indicates that the great value of the gospel is something the angels desire to look into. The angels are as these friends, these neighbors in the parable. Parable of the lost coin. This woman, she found it. She called her friends and her neighbors saying, "Rejoice with me. I have found the coin that was lost." And that word, "I have found it," is the same word from which we get Eureka. She says, "Rejoice with me." That coin is that was lost is now found. And you know what? Her friends and her neighbors were the ones rejoicing with her. Their neighbors and friends, they didn't feel the same loss as the woman did when her coin was missing. Kind of like my wedding ring. Brother Bradley, you didn't feel the same loss that I felt when my ring was missing. But as a friend, you had sympathy. As a friend, you cared and you helped look for it because it was something that's dear to me. And likewise, this coin was dear to this woman. The friends and neighbors, they didn't feel the same loss. The angels, they don't have the same understanding as we do. You see, because angels have never been lost. They've never been lost. They've never had to be redeemed. They've never had to come back to the Lord and be found. But because they're servants of God, because they care for the Lord, when a sinner is found, when a sinner returns and comes back to the Lord Jesus Christ, you know what? They rejoice. It says there's more there is rejoicing among the angels in the presence of God. If we could peel back the curtains of heaven and see what takes place when a sinner comes to know Jesus as Savior, I think we'll be floored. I believe we would just be amazed at the rejoicing that takes place. As Jesus says right here, there is much rejoicing in heaven over one sinner that repents. This past Thursday night, my church down in Arkansas, they have a jail ministry. They go to a county jail about 15 minutes away down in South Arkansas. Well, on Thursday, my pastor had the opportunity to win two men to the Lord that were there in that jail. What a blessing when he told me over the phone. How exciting. You know what? There's rejoicing among the angels of God over those two men. Now, this society might look at those men and think, oh, they're criminals. They deserve what they get. They're scum, as some might say. This world might look at those people and think, oh, they're not worth anything. Just shut them away, get rid of them. But you know what? They're sinners, but the Lord Jesus Christ died for them too. And that moment that they got saved, praise God, another one was redeemed. Another sheep was found. The coin was found. The children that were lost have been found, and there was rejoicing among the servants of God over those two men. Now, was it in the newspaper? No. When those two men got saved on Thursday, did people make a big deal about it in Little Rock on Capitol Hill? No. But you know what? It's a big deal in heaven. And there's rejoicing. When a sinner gets saved, when we hear that somebody gets saved, does it thrill us? Does it excite us? It ought to motivate us. When we hear that someone gets saved, it ought to fire us up and make us want to get even more involved. Because I tell you, there's rejoicing in heaven. And I think of my loved ones that I've lost through the years that were saved. They've gone on to be with the Lord. My grandpa, my great-grandma. Think of a young lady that was my age, daughter of a missionary who, here in the United States, got the flu real bad and passed away a couple months ago. The people have gone on before us. You know what? They're up there rejoicing when a sinner gets saved, I believe. Because it's such a wonderful thing when somebody that's lost comes back. Hear this verse 1. Chapter 15, when it says, "Then drew near unto him all the publicans and sinners for to hear him." That, my friend, is a wonderful verse in the Bible. That is a wonderful verse. What is it saying? It's saying sinners, people who need the Lord, are drawing nigh to hear the Savior. That's a wonderful thing. When someone comes to hear the Savior. So we talked about the heart of the shepherd, the heart of the servants. And lastly, the heart of the snob. The heart of the self-righteous snob. And we'll read the verses here. It's in the prodigal, it's in the parable of the prodigal son. And it says down here in verse 23, we'll begin reading again. The father says, "Bring hither the fatted calf and kill it, and let us eat and be merry. For this my son was dead and is found. This my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found." And they began to be merry. Now his elder son was in the field, and as he came and drew nigh to the house, he heard music and dancing. And he called one of his servants and asked what these things meant. And he said unto him, "Thy brother is come. And thy father hath killed the fatted calf, because he hath received him safe and sound. And he was angry, and would not go in. Therefore came his father out and entreated him. And he answering said to his father, Lo, these many years do I serve thee, neither transgressed I at any time thy commandment, and yet thou never gavest me a kid, that I might make merry with my friends. But as soon as this thy son was come, which hath devoured thy living with harlots, thou hast killed for him the fatted calf. And he said to him, Son, thou art ever with me, and all that I have is thine. It was meet that we should make merry and be glad, for this thy brother was dead, and is alive again, and was lost, and is found." Here in the third parable, the Lord speaks about this brother. And I believe it's a picture of the Pharisees. Because at the very beginning of the chapter, we see that those publicans, those sinners, drew nigh unto the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Pharisees, they what does it say? It says that they murmured. Verse 2, the Pharisees and scribes murmured, saying, "This man receiveth sinners and eateth with them." They, of course, thought, oh, how terrible that he would even think about eating with sinners. How terrible that he would eat with them and talk to them. They're a bunch of wicked sinners. They're thieves, they're publicans. They're scum. How dare they draw near to him? And even worse, he's receiving them. And that's the same heart that this son has, that's the brother of the boy who was lost. You see, when his brother came back, it says that they slew the fatted calf. They put a robe on him. They made merry with music and they rejoiced. They were happy. And sadly, this brother, he was out in the field working. When he heard what happened, he didn't even want to come in. And his father came out to him. What was the son's response? He says, "Lo, these many years I've served you. I've been a good son. I haven't wasted my inheritance. I've obeyed you. I've served you. And look, this thy son," he doesn't even say my brother. He says, "This thy son, which has come again. You've slain for him the fatted calf. You wouldn't do that for me." And sadly, the son here has this self-righteous attitude, thinking that he deserves something better because he faithfully served. You know what? Christian, if we're not careful, we can have that same sentiment. If we're not careful, we can think that we're better than somebody that's got piercings all over, someone's got tattoos, someone that looks real rough, and someone maybe that we wouldn't want to include in our circle of friends. Someone that might have very poor hygiene, someone that has a smell, someone that doesn't make as much money, someone that's not as educated. They might use a lot of slang words. There's people like that, even here in America. And if we're not careful, we can have the attitude that we're something better than them. Well, because we're going to church. We got a tie. Because we speak with good grammar. Because we're clean cut. And if we're not careful, maybe somebody walks in that door that it follows the description I just gave. And if we're not careful, we can think that we're better than them. How dare they sit in my seat? How dare they even come in here? We might not say that. I hope no one would just outright say that, but sometimes that can be our heart if we're not careful. You know what? We're no better than they. All we, like sheep, have gone astray. The message that Jesus Christ wants us to catch, that is so important that He would give three parables to emphasize it three times, it's this message. That the God in heaven, the Lord, loves sinners. He loves the sinner. He doesn't love their sin, but He loves the sinner and wants them so much to come home. Wants them so much, like that boy, to repent, to come back into the fold, and to be saved. That's what missions is all about. That's why we're going to Mexico. That's why you have missionaries all around the world serving in different places. It's because they're sinners out on the mountain somewhere that have never heard of this Jesus, that have never heard of a Savior who died in their place and can give them eternal life if they'll believe. I'm so thankful that when He sought me out, He didn't quit. I'm so thankful that when He went to die on that cross, He didn't go halfway and give up when it got hard. He didn't stop when times got tough, but He fulfilled the Father's will. And I'm so thankful that there's people who before me were faithful to tell someone about Jesus Christ and pass the word along. And then someone else got saved. And they passed the word along to someone else down through the ages. So that back in 1997, I heard the gospel on the other side of the world from Israel. The gospel made its way all around the world. And I heard it when I was 11 years old. There's a lot of people that haven't heard the message. And it's so freely available. We have it here in our hands. We know it in our hearts and minds. The truth of salvation. Are we giving it to someone else? Are we taking time to invest in the life of someone that needs the Lord? When we all get to heaven, it's not going to matter how much money we made. It's not going to matter how many degrees we had to our name or what kind of estate we left behind. What's going to matter is how many souls we reached for Jesus Christ. Because the Lord Jesus Christ didn't come to buy this world. He didn't come to buy money, to buy riches, to buy fame. He came to purchase souls of sinners like you and me. And that's what He truly cares about. It's the souls of people. Let's do our part in reaching the lost this year. Let's do more to witness. Let's do more to invite folks to come. Let's do more to support missions worldwide. Because the Lord, He loves sinners. And I'm so thankful He does. Let's draw nigh to Him and invite others as well. Every head bowed, every eye closed, none looking around.